morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And one of the ways that you can learn more about how we are church together is through your bulletin. There are announcements and calendar opportunities in there for you. Also, the November Harbinger. Hopefully you got it in the mail this week. If you did not, there are copies of it on the kiosk or out in the brochure rack in the hallway. And one of the things that you may have noticed that we will be doing during the month of November is the Food Stamp Snap Challenge. Your Harbinger has more information. There's also a table out in the hallway with lots of literature. And next Sunday, our Presbyter for Mission and Advocacy will be here in worship with us, sharing her experience as she took on that challenge last year. And a word about our service this morning. It is All Saints Sunday. We will be celebrating those saints in our lives who we can name by name and also those who are just in our hearts. And you'll see in your bulletin that there is an envelope in there and more information about our memorial garden, which, of course, for the winter has been trimmed back and down. But in this spring, we'll have an opportunity to place more bricks, and you can learn all about that in your bulletin. A few announcements this morning. Sue.
Sue Mancini's the name. Church Mouse Bazaar is a game. This is Charlie Church Mouse. He's my associate when we come up here to talk about the Church Mouse. I've been told I have to keep my announcements very short. With a girl who has diarrhea of the mouth, that's going to be hard. In your bulletin is a yellow sheet. We need 100 people to make the Church Mouse work. There's 100 people here. I expect one of these in the collection plate from every person sitting in a pew this morning. There is a job for all of you. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
Great job, Charlie. Tom.
Good morning. I have just a couple of save the date announcements, so I'll be brief. First of all, I want to invite everybody to the Presbytery meeting. It's scheduled for November 18th. And at that meeting, our very own Omar Rushan is going to be examined as he continues his study in the ministry to go from inquirer to candidate. And everybody's welcome there to see that. Secondly, November 12th will be our Guatemala Partners meeting, Wednesday night at 7:30 here at the church. It's a good time to join because we're going to start planning our next trip down there. So everybody's invited to come down to Guatemala with us. And then on November 13th, a Thursday, we're going to have a lunch here. We're going to have Graham Russell, who's a human rights activist. Many of you know Graham. He helped us organize our first trips down there to Guatemala. He'll be here, so we're going to meet with him at lunch. We're going to provide a catered lunch. Just let me know if you're coming. And then later that night, he'll be at Nazareth College doing a talk about Honduras and Guatemala and why people are leaving there. So put those dates down. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Katie.
We've got youth group today, so senior highs, just stay right after Sunday school. We'll have pizza at 12:30 and then go hiking. Or if you need to grab lots of scarves, we've got a couple extra hats around too. It's going to be a good time. Junior highs meet at 3:30. We're going to go over to the Y and be swimming for a couple hours. Be done at 5:30. Hope to see you there.
So many great and wonderful things happening in the life of our church. Also, a reminder, next Saturday, the sun is going to be shining. It's not going to rain or snow. There'll be plenty of donuts and hot coffee here at the church. 8:30, I believe, 8 o'clock, whenever you want to show up. Fall cleanup. The trustees will be glad to see you there. And that is an opportunity for all ages. And friends, now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. We sing to God.
For all the saints who rest from their labors, and for those who labor still.
We praise the name of God.
Who welcomes us when we fall short of who we are created to be.
Calling us down from our sorrow.
May our voices lift God's praise.
Goodness of God's grace, we are also reminded of the brokenness each of us carry, and God comes alongside us to hear and to feel, to experience, to be with us in that brokenness. Let us pray our prayer of confession together. Master, Savior, Messiah, Teacher, we know you by many names, Lord. Your presence fills our lives. All that we are and all that we have comes from you. All that you do declares your love for us. Yet when trouble comes, we wonder where you are. We even wonder who you are. How quickly we forget that you are always with us. Dispel our gloom and despair. Change our garments of darkness into robes of dazzling light. Spread your table before us and feed us from your hand. Lead us in the paths of righteousness, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen. The endless cloud of witnesses have gone before us, leaving us a legacy of hope and discipleship. Learn from those who have shown God's love in all that they have said and done. You have been set on the path of faithful discipleship. Be at peace. Thanks be to God.
Now I'd like the children to come forward and join me. Morning. I've got a question for you today. Has anybody ever heard of a saint before? Yes, yeah. What kind of saint? Yeah, a song from school. Awesome. What about St. Patrick's Day? Have we heard of that? Yeah, that happens. Yeah. Okay, so in St. Patrick's Day, we wear lots of green, right? And maybe like some little sparkle things. So if I want to be a saint, do I have to wear lots of green and be really sparkly?
No.
Okay, do I have to have a big halo on my head?
No.
Okay, what do I have to do? Yeah? Be good, that's it. A saint is anybody in the church who is good, anybody who loves God and loves people and finds all sorts of ways to help people. Do you guys know any saints? Yeah? You know some people who are good? You! Awesome! All right! What about the people who teach you about God? You know anybody like that? Yeah? Your teachers aren't supposed to. What about Sunday school? Yes, okay. Sunday school happens sometimes. What about your parents or your grandparents? Do they teach you about God? No? Okay. Who? Okay, who else? The pastors, they teach people about God all the time. You're right. So today I want you to think about all sorts of different people who teach you about God's love. And you know where we can find some of them? Up here in the Bible. They have all sorts of different stories of saints who love God and love people. So go around today and think about all the people that love God and love you and teach you about God, okay? That sound all right? All right, let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, thank you for the saints who love us. Help us to love other people and teach them about you. Amen. All right, head off to Sunday school.
Morning is from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted you, the prophets who were before you."
For the second reading of the word this morning, we turn to the very end of the Bible, a book often not read, even rarely understood, from Revelation. "After this I looked. There was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be our God forever and ever. Amen.' And one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one who knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" Sharing lunch this week with the guests at Cameron Community Ministry Free Lunch Program, I met a man named Frank. Late 50s, clean-shaven, nicely trimmed crew cut and Carhartt jacket and work boots. Skin a weathered brown from sun and wind. And along with the calloused hands, I wondered if he worked construction. "Garbage truck," he told me, "until a couple of months ago. Stepped off the truck to grab a can and a car came speeding past. Clipped my arm. Yeah, people never see the garbage man. Nothing major, but can't lift the cans anymore." And Frank explained how he was now trying to figure out what he was going to do next. And as we talked a little bit more, he began sharing about his life, how he spent the first part of it growing up in a working-class neighborhood in the city, and then he went on to work retail management up on the 104, right around Kodak, till everything went south. And he said everyone always talks about how many jobs were lost at Kodak, but not really much is ever said, and no one really counts the number of people who lost jobs in retail, food service. Frank thought maybe there were just too many to count. And it didn't matter anyway. There weren't any more jobs, and A guy like Frank couldn't just pick up and move somewhere new. So for him, there was a stretch of unemployment, some temp jobs, employers treating him as indispensable, overlooking the skills he had to offer. He told me about how the drinking started. His wife left him and took the kids. The temp jobs that Frank puts together now means that he doesn't qualify for food stamps, and after child support is taken out of his check, there's barely enough to cover rent. He's thankful for a meal at Cameron, but he says he feels pretty out of place. I offered a prayer for Frank. He just kind of shook his head. I thank God every day by making the most out of what I got, but I appreciate you looking my way today. And he cleared his dishes. Off he went. Look. John of Patmos starts out in our verses this morning. Amidst the apocalyptic vision in the often avoided and more often misunderstood book of Revelation, John tells us to do something very simple. Look. Rather than reshelve Revelation as an indecipherable apocalyptic dream sequence written by this unknown disciple in this fledgling first century Jesus movement, we're invited to see the saints as John sees them. Yes, the saints are going to look a bit different than the left-behind images from Hollywood. But you know, they might even look different than the select churchy people who spend a lifetime strictly observing religious practices and values. Because the saints are more than just a select few. The saints are of a great multitude that no one can count. And it's taken the Presbyterian Church a while to warm up to this whole notion of celebrating saints without feeling too Catholic about it. I think we're there. We do a great job. So, you know, the most startling section of this entire passage might even be John's refusal to count. Because Presbyterians love to count. We count the number of people in the pews on a Sunday. We count the numbers on our membership rolls, how many have been baptized in a year, the names that are removed, how many guests at a soup kitchen on a particular day. And, you know, we're in good company. The world is always counting people, too. This week, we'll be counting voters as they go to the polls. We count the unemployed, the homeless, those who graduate from high school, those who don't. Everybody seems to be a number, and everybody has a number, and everybody is counted. But John says, there's a lot of futility in all this counting. It's not about counting, and it's not about the numbers. Look, John says, look and see the people from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages, worshiping and singing God. Look. And now, as idyllic and unspoiled as this image might be in our minds now, John keeps writing and encourages us to keep looking, to see the saints in a whole new way. These are the people who have come out of the great ordeal, he writes. They are the ones who lack shelter and protection from the elements. They are the ones who wonder where their next meal will come from when they don't qualify for assistance. They will thirst for water that is not polluted and disease-ridden or carried for miles. Look, through the most unimaginable circumstances, and with tears in their eyes, John sees those who are identified in the storied history of the church as saints. And in our turning our attention to the saints who are often overlooked, John does not encourage us to idealize suffering. Instead, he offers an honest statement about the condition of the world and how it affects God's people and all of creation. This early Christian community to whom John writes is struggling. They are struggling to see the grace and love of God in a world where injustice, born of violence, happens every day, where children are dying from hunger, a world where the oppressed remain captive to the bondage of abusive structures, a world where there are too many people to count who feel absolutely invisible. And what John does is invites us to look. Look for the hope. After all is said and done, after the plagues of war and famine and disaster have done their worst, salvation belongs not to the broken systems and structures, to the pain of disease, or even what we believe at times to be the finality of death. Look. Look for the salvation belonging to God alone. And this is the great and enduring truth of the gospel as it comes alive for us on this All Saints' Day. For the saints are all those whom God sees. And in this dramatic reversal of the vision of the world, Jesus describes the saints that he sees on the hillside that day with his disciples, and Jesus calls them blessed. The saints, Jesus reminds us, aren't simply those who seem to have it all figured out, whose prayer life is perfect, whose service to the church and community alike are irreproachable, and who have left a legacy to the rest of us as we spend a lifetime aspiring to realize for ourselves. On the contrary, the saints, Jesus tells us, and John encourages us to look for, are those who have suffered greatly and those who suffer still, even in our midst. And yet somehow they are able to thank God. They thank God for seeing them when the world renders them invisible. And for us to see what God sees, we need to look. We need to look around to see the saints are all those who have known the pain of grief and the sting of death and still manage to sing that Alleluia. The saints are those who have been excluded and ignored by every corner of society
and yet find ways to seek and serve Christ, loving their neighbors as themselves. Friends, celebrating All Saints this day, we look to those whom we've seen in this life and in this congregation. The faithful lives, those who have lived in the challenging circumstances of this world and who now fully experience the goodness of God's love, those names whom we will read in a moment. And the list goes beyond to include all those in your heart, loved ones, whom you remember and celebrate this day. But I also invite you, as John does, to take a moment and look. Look across the aisle of this church, or down the street, into the parts of the city that we don't often frequent, and see the saints. See the saints there who, even in the most unimaginable circumstances, find ways to lift up their hearts in prayer and praise to God. And when we hear those soft and faithful notes of Alleluia emanating from deep within the souls of the saints among us, we too will know. We will know that salvation indeed belongs to our God, who is seated upon the throne now and forevermore. Alleluia. Amen. And at this time of year, friends, we recognize that the long summer has faded now, and that these first days of November mark the beginning of the coming of winter. The frost has taken most of our tender plants, and leaves have begun to fall from the trees. The geese continue on their long journey south, and the days are cooler, the weather unsettled, and the evenings are suddenly dark. This is the time of year when Christians have marked All Saints' Day as a day of celebrating, remembering, and honoring the saints who have touched our lives. At this darkening time of year, our thoughts turn to things past, to life retreating, to those who are no longer with us. Images come to our minds of dear companions who once graced our lives, loved ones whom we miss, persons whose lives made an impact on ours. Of all those who were here, contributing, caring, and are now gone.
Our memories bring both joy and sadness. Let us not push these feelings away, for our recollections attest to the enduring importance of these friends, this love, our memories, the eternal circle which we are all a part of.
We give thanks for the gift of life, with all its pain and its joy, its struggles and its triumphs.
We give thanks for all the dedicated children of God, from our church family whose lives testify to the power of God's Holy Spirit in our midst. And we remember those saints who have died this past year. We remember Celine Brown. Mildred Poole. Howard Stiles. Marion Kegel. Mary Horn. Arlene Tandy. Lynn Smythe. Fred Buff. Dorothea Richter. And you are also invited to name in the silence of your hearts or out loud those names of the saints whom you hold dear. Just speak them out. Don't worry about talking over someone else. It's for God's ears, for the saints whom we remember. We give thanks for these people and all the people who have enriched our lives. May these brave spirits live again in our tender thoughts and prove that death and distance are powerless to sever the bonds that connect truly loving hearts.
Spirit of life, whom we know best in our own loving and being loved, hold us as we remember those we have loved and those who have loved us. May our gratitude sparkle in our lives. May our tears cleanse our souls. Help us to know that we are not alone in our grieving, and help us also to come to that peaceful place in which we can take that what we learn from those who have gone before us into our own lives. Remind us that we too are mortal, and that the only enduring legacy we leave is the love that shines through our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over, has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel this day, for whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness you may feel, whatever hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share in this feast which he has prepared. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and it was then that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to give our thanks and praise, O Lord. It is right and good and joyful, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image and invited us to live as your people on this earth. And instead, we fell short of what you created us to be and went as far away as we could. Despite the generations of saints who invite us back time and time again, we shun their welcome. So you sent your Son, Jesus, to be the guest of sinners in every time and place, that we might receive the gift of salvation. So with reformers and saints who have gone before us, with friends and neighbors sitting around us, we lift our songs of praise to you. Holy, 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 God of justice and righteousness, all creation keeps watch for your justice.
Blessed is the one who comes called
to holy. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life, glorified as your Son. Jesus came to show hospitality to all who go unseen in this world. He sought the lost and proclaimed salvation least likely recipients. As we remember his life, his teachings, his words, as we celebrate the good news of his resurrection, we speak of our faith, which often seems a mystery.
Christ died, faithful to the end. Christ is risen,
your righteousness come true.
Christ will return,
our hope and peace.
Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen.
Amen.
The joys of our faith have been passed down from generation to generation, shared by people who love us and shared amongst those whom we love. So let us tell you what I have been told, that on the night of his arrest, Jesus, having loved his disciples, loved them until the end. And at dinner that night, he took the bread, and giving thanks, he broke it and blessed it, saying, "Take this, all of you. Eat this. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, broken for all of you."
Recognizing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, this is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. And we break this bread and we drink this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life and faith to hope anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us share in them together.
Thank you.
Friends, this is the bread of life broken for you. Let us eat and celebrate God's love together.
Friends, this is the cup of new life. Taste the goodness of God's grace for each of us now and always.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we turn open our lives to be bearers of the good news, where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Now that we have eaten together, we come into a time of sharing our joys and sharing those that we are worried for today. We'd like to lift up in prayer. So who has something that they'd like to share with us today?
Christine Cook, prayers for my father, Whit Beckett's family, as Thursday they interred his brother's remains in the Arlington Cemetery, Thomas Beckett. Thank you
very much. Roy Smith, Julie and I were thrilled to welcome Owen Nicholas on Thursday, 7 pounds, 11 ounces, and he's doing great.
Welcome, baby Owen.
Jeannie Bauman, I'd like to ask for prayers for our good friends Gary and Ruth Elsom. Ruth will be having shoulder replacement surgery tomorrow, and so prayers of healing for her, but also prayers of patience for Gary as her caregiver.
Tammy Tackling, prayers of concern for one of my best friend's father who's battling cancer in the hospital right now. And prayers of joy for my daughter, Leah, who starts her new adventure in the United Kingdom. And she's doing very well. She got there safe and sound. So, and prayers for Andrew and I as we start a new chapter in our lives as well. So thank you.
Please keep your... Janet Ellis in your prayers. This is the second. She's been there 2 weeks, intensive care unit, struggling for her life. Please pray for Katie. It's really hard with the babies and keeping calm and the stress levels. So thank you for your prayers. Amen.
Good morning, Chris Holman. Prayers for my home church. Pastor Becca and her husband Will actually lost their baby on Thursday. So prayers for grieving parents and a congregation that will be grieving and needs to be there and support them. Thank you.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to thank the choir and the leader again for that beautiful, beautiful music.
Bob and Fran Perrell, prayers for Bob's mother who's been diagnosed with breast cancer. She sees a surgeon Tuesday. And John O'Reilly, his cousin, is still in the cancer center at Strong. Thank you.
I'd like to give thanks that my cousin Nancy arrived safely from San Diego last week, and she's here with us today sitting next to that Englishman over there, Peter Derry. And the thing about Nancy is she lives out there on the West Coast her whole life, and we lost track of her for, gosh, 25, 30 years probably, and then got reconnected through one of those goofy high school yearbook things on the Internet, so it was great to find her again.
Welcome. Hello, David Fish. I spent some time this past week in the city of Rochester at the Tent City where the homeless have been staying because they've been displaced from the Civic Center garage. Earlier, they were bulldozed. Their homes were bulldozed. And it was sad to watch. So we went with a dedicated group of medical students, social workers. And so to put ourselves into action is important through prayer. So I pray for those.
Velta Rushan, this last night at about 10 o'clock, we received a call from Omar, who lives in Boston, that he was hit by a car. Thank goodness, they took him to the hospital, and there were no broken bones or no severe damage. So he went home, and this morning we spoke with him, and he's in pain with his foot. So I asked for prayers for him and give God thanks that he's A-okay.
Amen. Prayers for Omar. And also prayers in the life of our congregation this morning for Ed and Jean Sclair. Ed's having some struggles with his health, and also for Ruth Frady, who fell and broke her arm yesterday and will be having surgery today. So prayers for Ruth. And also prayers from our children this morning. Lots of prayers of joy for birthdays and birthday parties, for friends and hockey games, but also prayers of concern for a sick mom, and also for everyone who seems to be getting sick. So lots of prayers there. Prayers of joy for trick-or-treating and candy. And I always insert my prayers for the parents having to deal with the kids with the candy. And prayers for a mom who is also having a surgery. And prayers for the child who was hit by a car and who was killed. So prayers for that family and for all those. Our kids know.
Gracious and loving God, we know you by many names. Father, Mother, Peacemaker, Creator, Light of the World. Today we also lift up the names of those we love who have gone before us, those who have made our lives better, who have taught us about your love, who have shown us how to work for justice, who have brought peace into the world, and made your world a better place. Gracious God, we thank you for all of the saints in our lives and in our histories. We ask you to help us to see every person as beloved by you and see the gifts and the skills that each person brings into the world to make it a better place. Give us confidence, O God, that we may share your love with others, be a source of comfort in times of sorrow, and a source of celebration in times of joy. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Let us come together to the table again to celebrate the many gifts which God has blessed us with and offer them back to God in thanksgiving. Let us worship God this morning as we collect our morning offering.
Loving Father, we humbly dedicate these offerings to your use. Like the saints who have gone before us, we are comforted by the knowledge that you will multiply these gifts. Allow this money to become a resource that lifts the shadows of despair from the recesses of people's lives. We recognize that only you can restore faith to the faithless, hope to the hopeless, and love to the loveless. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
For our closing hymn, we're going to sing the first and third verse. So first and third verse. Go with the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.